Okay. All right, so let's get started over here. So we just started Sif Beis, I think, right? We were just getting going over here when you have Tarovos of different Ma'achalim. So as we learned last time, the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis tells us, based on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, that Irev Davar Nechuk Moshu Chayim Davar Shein Nechuk Moshu Chayim Bishlam Ovid Chavim. That you follow what the ikur of the food is, just like you would follow with regard to Hilchos Brachos is concerned. Darki Tshuva adds that filu lechadchila mutzul arvam levatlam ve'ein kan mishum bitulis lechadchila, that it's not going to be a violation of bitulis lechadchila to be ma'ariv them on purpose. So that's what we saw last time. Then the Rama adds, and the Rama says umutzul lechol ofraim kluyim shalav yichavim v'chein a kitni yishakor an arbishin kluyim. Deinu amal shulchan sham lachem. What's arbishin? Chickpeas, arbis, right? That's what we refer to as arbis. So the Rama says, roasted peas and chickpeas from a non-Jew is mutter, because it's not all al shulchan malachim. It says shach sif katan gimel v'chein agubem heter v'kasvus aris chaz v'esh klal laman hei shenogin heter b'kil kedosha krakow liknos ha'egozim shleimim shekorin shtechel nusen shemevashim ovdei chavim, that nuts that ovdei chavim cook are also okay. Now, I don't know if you saw it in the OU document A131. There was a discussion about chickpeas. Anyone read that one? So let's go through it. I thought this was interesting. I didn't read it carefully yet, but let's read it carefully together right now. Rav Shechter writes in a tshuva, La'achrona hischilu kan b'New York, la'hasim arbis, chickpeas, v'chein beans, that's in parentheses, mevushalim betoch salad shel yirakos, ha'ne'achalim chayim b'ltim mevushalim, that it's become more common to put chickpeas and beans in salads, b'chasinos, at weddings, ukadoma, v'ne'pach dino lios nechshav, even though this is the example given in the Ramah of something that's saying in the Shulchan Malachim, says Rav Shechter, I don't know, I've been to a lot of weddings at fancy places, and the salads that they serve in the appetizer have chickpeas in them. So chickpeas are, you know, like if you ever have like one of those layered salads, you know, where they have like the colorful ones, like a rainbow salad. So that's a very fancy kind of salad you would make for a company, and it looks very beautiful, and there's a layer of chickpeas in that salad. So Rav Shechter said, I think it's all the Shulchan Malachim. He says, even though people don't eat arbis on their own, on the Shulchan Malachim, I don't think you can matir mitam ikr v'tafel de birchsanen yeshnei suge ikr v'tafel. He says, what are you going to tell me? That maybe we should be matir based on ikr v'tafel. What's the heter? What heter would you suggest based on ikr v'tafel over here? What's he driving at?
The
and what's the ikur?
The rest of the salad
is the ikur. There's just a little something to add. I happen to not like chickpeas, but for those who like little dry tasting whatever you know in their salads, so then you know it's a tuffel to the salad, and therefore it should not determine the it should not be problematic mitam bishlakim. So says Rav Shechter, no, because you have to understand that there are two types of ikur for tuffel. Aleph, that one meichel is mishamish the other meichel, like putting a little bit of flour on latkes in order to for devak bialma, in order to hold the latkes together. Or southern fried chicken, they put a little bit of breading on the outside of the chicken where it's there to be to be mishamish the meichel. And beis, the second type of ikur v'tafel, kishish beis ma'achalim hamu'uravim yachad. Sometimes you just have two different foods connected to each other that are eaten together, and one of them is less than 50% of the total. But that's not the same ikur v'tafel as one clearly there to serve the other, to help the other, to aid the other. So v'nir pashut shekulas hagmar beitz hanal rak shayeches ba'ofen ha'alif hanal v'lo ba'ofen ha'sheni. The whole idea that we can be makel on ikur v'tafel when the bishlakum is a tafel is only when the tafel is that which is mishamish the ikur, but not when it's just less than 50%. Shadin hasheni anal hi kula miuchedes bilchus brachos hilchus brachsanenin b'levad, because it's only a kula hilchus brachsanenin that which is less than 51% is considered to be a tafel. You don't have to say a bracha on it, right? The whole deal of Shechter has in Eretz HaTzvi. Why is it that you don't have to say a bracha on Sachs has in one of his farm also? It's a famous raid. Why is it that you don't have to say a birch sanenin on the tafel? Is it that it's covered with the bracha on the ikur, or that it's never chayiv in a bracha bichlal? That it doesn't that it's not subject to a bracha? And several nafkaminas about that. But he says that there's a chiddush in birch sanenin. That which is the lesser ingredient or less volume, the smaller of the two ingredients, that does not require a bracha. But that's not a din in bishlakum. The din of tafel in bishlakum is only when it's a tafel hameshamish. If it's a tafel that's meshamish the yikur, then you could say that there's such a din of tafel. Ve'ein domel l'nidon chow mein noodles, and this is not like chow mein noodles. Asher shami inachal b'taris tafel mamish. Where that's a tafel. Why is that a tafel? What's chamein noodles? What's he talking about? Sometimes on the salad, they'll put in a little crunch, right? They'll give something, salad is, you don't want it all to be soft, you want it to, or just have like a wet kind of crunch, you want a dry crunch in the salad. So they'll put something that, they'll put those skinny, right, chamein noodles on. Yeah, so they'll throw them on the top of the salad and it'll give it a little crunch. That's clearly just to be mishamish the salad. It's not because it's one of the ingredients of the salad. It's not a normal thing for a salad. It's not a vegetable salad. It's just there because to give a little crunch to the salad. So that's a tough mamish. Umistavalomer shim zarku noodles elu al gabe yirakos sharakish levarich adam of lomazonos. And therefore you're not going to ask for mitan bishalakum. Good, meaning so Rav Shechter wants to use that as a chumrah over here, right? The idea that there are two types of ikur v'tafel, and therefore the arbis is the second type of ikur v'tafel that's totally on just how much of it there is, but it's part of the ikur meichel. It's just a lesser amount of the ikur meichel, and therefore there would not be it would be subject to bishalakum. The imbid medina sheba osim es abishal lo in higu minigzal lahachnas arbis mevusholim el toch salad shel yirakos. Ah, now he discusses. Wait a second. Where does the cooking of the chickpeas happen? If it happens in a place where no one puts it on a salad, af shekan b'New York dinam kol al shulchan lachim mikol makom sham b'makom bishulo ein al shulchan lachim v'yesh makom lahakel v'lo merdein b'mishum bishulo yavdichad. He says it could be that once something is mutter, it's not bishlakum. Moving it to a place where it is al shulchan lachim is not going to make it bishlakum. This is that tzarich lios bishas bishulo umel tzarich lios talik b'makom habishul. The issue of bishlakum happens at the moment that it's cooked in the place that it's cooked. So if in the place that it's cooked it's not olah shulchan lachem, it's mutter and it remains heter gomer. I'm sorry, did I just... Yeah, so that's all Rav Shechter.
Is that true in Metzias? In the place where the chickpeas are cooked,
do they not use it in salads?
Yeah.
I don't know what the Metzias is. I don't think Rav Shechter knows either.
He was just saying
that if that's true, meaning I could see how this conversation happened. So, right? I mean, Rabbi Gerson probably said, but Rabbi, they're not cooking it in the New York Hilton. They're cooking it in some factory in in Argentina. He's like, and Rav Shech said, well, what do they do in Argentina? Rabbi Gerson said, I don't know. and then it's what he wrote in the Tshuva, that, if it's in a place where...
So which category do chickpeas fall under?
Yes, so he thinks chickpeas are not mishamesh the rest of the salad. It's part of the salad. It just happens to be a minority part of the salad. And in such an ikur v'tafel, there's no heter by bishlakum. And therefore, he wants
but
to be mamish.
The chamei noodles are not part of the salad.
Right. The chamei noodles are not part of the salad. That's just a mishamesh salad. Because that's clearly, it's not a salad ingredient. It's a crunch. It's just throwing a little crunch on. Yeah, right. How do you know exactly what's what is not probably not always so easy. Then Rabelsky wrote that yesh beis she'elos nefrados isav mesachz beitza dilu hayaharsne ikra yomotim mishum b'shuli nachrim hatam luzem meshabishul nasa mishum amachal ikari v'atafalinu kovei hashem amachal v'nekra akol nechol kamo shul chai mishum ikra avshanit v'alinu nechol chai. He says that the Gemara Maseches Beitza teaches us that when the bishul is done, it's done for the primary ingredient, and the tafel is not going to determine the status of the food item, and therefore the tafel is something that's not nechel kamo shulchai or is olal shulchan melachim, then the tafel is not going to ruin the rest of the food. But Beis, he says, who in yaneinu anochachi kishemachinim davar she'eino olal shulchan melachim v'nosin ma'at v'imenu lahatim davar she'olal shulchan melachim. And Rav Elsky has a strong point over here. He says, no one makes chickpeas for salad. They make chickpeas. Chickpeas is a product. It's a finished product. You buy it in a can. And then some people will take that food, which is clearly not olal shulchan melachim. You never see it served other than like a shalom zachar or something. It's just like a snack for people who need protein in their diet or something, I guess. I don't know. Maybe there are some people that like it. But it's certainly not something that would ever be olal shulchan melachim as is, as the way it's made. And then you sprinkle it on into something else that's olal shulchan melachim, and it gives a little extra chashivas. So he says, Hayim nikra shuv olal shulchan melachim neshim zed, just because you happen to throw it into a salad, it becomes olal shulchan melachim. Zelam the fact that it's metabel something else does not make it a machal chashuv. Vuken pilpulin v'lo mikri machal mitzad masha metabel. Mihu bebeans shem akrovim l'rov bevade l'huvka chashivusam mipnei shehem miyut. What does that mean? By beans which are krovim l'rov, that are close to the majority, I guess it depends what kind of salad. I don't know, maybe they showed him salads. Bivadei luhufka chashivusam nei shemiyut. He says, I don't think being 49% makes it a tafel. If a bean is a major part of the salad, it's a bean salad, then that, in fact, olal shulchan melachim. So he says, pizeh nirli shabeans asur. So Rebelsky wanted to split the psak between the chickpeas and the beans. Who wrote this? I copied and pasted it as my notes. Let me see if I can pull up the document. Yeah. Then Rav Schechter. One second. All right, so that was Rebelsky. Then Rabbi Ginnak commented. No. Oh, no. Rebelsky continued. Achar kach higidu li b'shem amumchim b'machalim ha'adinim So Belsky was heading in the makel direction. Belsky said, but then I'm told that you see it at Shmorgs, and it's not just a little bit of an add-on to a salad, it's a major part of a salad. That's something you see at Shmorgs, and if that's the case, if it's at the Shmorgs, then it's a problem. That's where Belsky came out. You see, these are the kinds of conversations that really, you know, it's almost like you wonder, like, if the answers would be different depending on who's in the room providing the information. You know, like, one caterer will say, no way, I would never have arbis at a smorgasbord. And another caterer might say, I have this dish, it's my thing, that I have it, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a common thing. So I don't know. I don't know how this was decided. But then Rabbi Ginnak asked that it doesn't seem to make sense to asur the chickpeas in fancy salads, considering that the large majority of chickpeas are eaten plain in a way that's not olal shulchan melachim. So Shach said that if they took chickpeas that were cooked to be eaten plain and then added them to a salad of Shach, it was mutter that it's mutter, because everything's tali b'makom abishul b'shas abishul. But if the caterer asked the beans or chickpeas to be cooked by the nachrim for that purpose, then you should be machmir. I don't think that ever happens, right? Do they do that? They cook it fresh? I don't know. I would imagine every time you see chickpeas, they just open the can of chickpeas and maybe they added some stuff, some spices to it. Does anyone cook their own fresh chickpeas? Oh, you cook sometimes? Do you ever see any? No? Nobody?
Probably not at weddings.
Oh, Gabe. You're all White House, is it? Okay. Chickpea recipe. Okay. So, sounds good. Gabe, is that, are you communicating? Yeah, okay. What does the story actually say, Gabe?
Yeah,
Oh, okay. Okay, sounds good, I guess. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel, Pnada, Sha'ava Akum, Asura Afil Misha Noe Keter Bepashal Akum, Mnesha Shuman Nesuk Shuba'ed Mishum Shulav Yichavim, V'nivla Bepas. V'chen Yorkas and Acholim, Chayim Shabishlam Basar Asum Neshum Shal Basar Nivla Bem. So he's switching gears a little bit. The two foods that are not like mixed in a batter together, these are two foods that are combined but are still distinguishable, right? This panada that is made by non-Jew is aser. It's a type of bread that's made with meat fat, and since there's an isra of bishlakam on the fat, even though the bread is mutter, the bread will only be pas and pas palter, let's say, but it's going to be a violation of bishlakam. So frek the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, I don't understand. Vida, diyeshli b'din zeh she'ilu gedolna. Vare kol rabbi seinu kasvu, dilchein ein b'sheicha mishum b'shule Yaakov, dikamo da hatavua b'telu la'mayim lini bracha, dimavachin alei shahakol, hachanami hi l'gabe isu b'shule Yaakov. Why is it that on beer there's no problem with b'shule Yaakov? Because the grain that's in the beer is batal to the water for the bracha, so the bracha is shahakol, and mele it's batal to the water as far as b'shule Yaakov is concerned as well. Vare, ilcha nikr mizeh, you know that that's not just water, right? Meaning you know it's beer. That's why you got it. People who want to drink water are not going to be happy with beer, and people who want beer are not going to be happy with water. This is as nicker as it gets. Everyone knows that there are hops and barley, whatever, that there's grain in that water. Why should the panda be any better than the and make the whole thing bishalakum where the sheikhar does not, the grain in the beer does not. Va'od, kivin she b'sheikhar kasva atami shum bracha hagam b'panda batal hashum and le'isa le'gabe bracha v'rachin le'beramrim zonos. What bracha you make on a knish, right? There's some type of knish that has some meat fat in it. So the bracha would be mizonos. So if the bracha is going to be mizonos, then, or hamotzi or whatever, the bracha is going to be, let's say it's a flaky dough, the bracha is going to be mizonos. So then shouldn't we say that it does not have a din of bishul? And yet Shulchan Aruch over here says asura, because the shuman itself is nesar. So that's the kasha of the Aruch HaShulchan. So the Aruch HaShulchan answers v'atshuva l'zeh d'lo dami achilu l'shtia. It's the difference between food and drink. Da taimim shenizbar utama bitul v'tama bracha einu moil elu bishinui hadover me'ikaro. That which we say, oh, if you're not saying a bracha on it, or it's completely a batel to the larger food, that's when it actually is not what it once was. Meaning the grain no longer looks like a grain. It's now just the flavor of the grain in the beer. The coffee is now no longer a bean. It's just the flavor of the coffee that made its way into the water. That's where we're going to say that I'm not worried about it. It's a total tafel. It's totally batel. It's you look at the water, you don't look at anything else. Masha'in kein hapanada hu devar achila v'chashivus v'mnei ha-shuman k'yodua. The chashivus is only because of the shuman, and it's still shuman. The isa because if you have a dough that doesn't have this, the filling, it has no chashivas at all. It's only granted chashivas because of the filling. Otherwise you would just call it bread. It wouldn't even be called a knish. It's only called a knish because it has something inside of it. So he says, this is, you look at the ikr, and the ikr chashivus over here is the shuman. So this is different than the case of beer or whatever. I saw in the OU documents they had a discussion about, what are they called? Crepes, right? Where they make those very thin, what are they, like noodles, and then they wrap them around, whatever. You know, they could put inside of a crepe. You could put mushroom and chicken in a crepe, or you could put some fruity dessert in a crepe. So Rabbi Belsky said, it's not all Shulchan Malachim Bechlal. it's not pas because it's very thin, and but it's not olal shulchan malachim. He said because as is, it's not olal shulchan malachim. So when the Jew fills it with something, and meaning the OU is asked the company that just makes the crepes, and then when the idea is that a Jew would buy it and would make his own desserts with it, or make his own, use it to wrap around his food. So can they have a non-Jew frying those crepes in the company? So Rebelsky thought that it's olal shulchan malachim. Because it's completely not in that in that context, right? It's only going to be olal shulchan malachim once you mix it together with whatever the filling is. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan. You have to differentiate between coffee, which changes form from a bean to a liquid, and it's certainly bottled to the liquid, and panada, where the fat that was food became absorbed in bread and remains in food form. So since the fat is the ikar and it stays in food form, there's bishalakam in the fat, the panada is asr. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, v'nivel b'pas. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, the after batal berov kedelsim kuvir beisiv yudalid ba'ga hacha gara dashuma nira v'nikar be'en b'tocha pas v'avik kedelsim kuvir beisiv vav ba'ga. What's he asking and answering? He says, wait a second, shouldn't we say that it's batel barov? After all, he says, I'll show you kufyud beis if yudalit. What did it say in kufyud beis if yudalit? That a kutach shalakum mutter vein choshen the pas ovid chavim shabam. That we're not worried about kutach of an ovid chavim. We're not worried about pas akum in kutach. Why not? Because kutach has several ingredients. It's got the spoiled milk and it's got the rotten bread. It's got so the bread shabot is only a secondary ingredient. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger over here. Also, shouldn't we say that the rov is the bread? The rov is not the shuman, and therefore it should be batel. So he says, no. This is much more like sivav in the Ramah in Kuf Yud Beis. What was that about? V'yesh osim bepas. Shebeitzim tochim alpanav mishum shem be'en ve'inim betelim l'gavitas. Remember, we had the egg painted on the top of the bread because it's be'en and it's not batel to the pas. So we mentioned this halacha back then, right? That seems like a stira in Kuf Yud Beis. Which is it? Do we say that I look at the rove, or do I say even the painting on top of the bread, the whatever you call it, on top of the bread is going to be a problem? So he said, because it's be'en and it's separate, that's going to make it aser. So that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying over here. Hachagara da shuman nira v'nikr be'en b'tochapas. The shuman, even though it partially melts into the bread, it's nira v'nikr. So since it's nira v'nikr, it's considered more like that case in Sivvav. Okay, now we get to the big topic. The big topic in Bishalakum is non-Jewish help in the home, or in a restaurant for that matter, but let's focus about the home, because that's where the major discussion really happens. That's where we have another consideration in halacha. I forwarded a shayla in the chat yesterday. Did you see that? What was the shayla? That a guy walked in and he saw that his housekeeper was warming up a treif hamburger in his toaster oven. In a paper wrapping. What would you tie in? No one answered. Come on. Where are the future post-Kamakalis from? Come on. What would you tie in? First think halachically and then think practically. Okay, so halachically first. It's covered. No, what else? What other factor? Yatzaledes, okay. What else? What was it? What kind of food was it? It was a hamburger. What? One second. What do you, whenever you're talking about an oven, what do you always have to ask? What do you always have to think about? Is there Zaya? Does a hamburger produce Zaya? So it's not a liquid, it's a solid that's got moisture to it. But on the other, so not so much Zaya. Meaning Ramesha, only if you see Zaya, it's a problem. Are you going to see Zaya if it's wrapped in paper? No way. The Zay is definitely going to be absorbed in the paper, and probably it's not even yet so that. I mean, probably it's not so hot. So it probably does not produce any Zay. What do you have to worry about then, if you're not worried about the Zay? The rack that it's sitting on. If juices, right, went down into the rack. So maybe you'd have to kasher the rack without kashering the rest of the oven, because there's no Zay. Now, how do you kasher such a rack? It was dry heat that it was something sitting on, so it might require libun. l'chora. Unless the paper was really strong and was really mafsik and there was no moisture on the rack. Okay, let's say there was no moisture on the rack and there was no zaya and it was totally wrapped. So now, practically, what do you tell the guy to do? So you got to start asking a lot of questions. You happen to walk in when she was cooking a treif hamburger? Meaning not like, she just thought that it was, she could put some butter on whatever she found in your fridge. That happened to have inflation, so she put some butter in the chicken. No, she brought in a burger from McDonald's to your house and used your kitchen appliances to eat it up. Is anything kosher in that? I mean, right? You really have to start. That's where you really have to start asking. Is what else happened? And can you trust the guy to be honest about it? So I don't know. So the guy told me no. We spoke to her about it, and she knew. And this is honestly happens a lot. She knew she's not allowed to cook. She didn't realize she can't even just warm something up. Meaning, which is true, that a lot of times they don't realize exactly what that means. We had a case, we had a restaurant in the Five Towns once where we looked on the camera, an alert customer noticed that the crock pot, it was one of these chullin places, that a giant crock pot was not where it usually is. It was like in a different spot. So the customer alerted us to that. We checked the cameras, we have cameras in every store. We checked the cameras and we saw the non-Jew took the crock pot, unplugged it from where it was, brought it over somewhere else, and plugged it in. That's Bishalakum. So they asked him, what are you doing? How could you do that? He said, they told me I'm not allowed to cook. They didn't tell me I can't plug things in. Meaning, the guy's not a Lamdan, right? So I understand that the woman thought that she's allowed to warm things up. She's not a Lamdan. But then the other factor you always have to, I said, probably throw it out in front of her. Throw the whole thing. He said, I don't mind throwing the toast out now. I said, good, so do it in front of her. Let her see that you can't use it anymore. Meaning, she probably doesn't appreciate that this, like, really matters. So make her appreciate that it really matters. And also, by the way, she should never bring Burger King into your house. Like, nevelas and treifas don't belong in your house. You know, there are rabbanim that just won't eat in a house that has live-in help. Schechter, Rav Reisman, they just don't trust the whole. Now you can have cameras there. What? If they're left alone for extended periods of time in the kitchen, which makes it impossible. If you have young children and you have a wife that works, like how do you, there's always, from women aren't doing this job. what are you supposed to do? So yeah, that's but. So what you're supposed to do is set the rules meikara. No outside food comes in. We'll buy you whatever you want. Just let us know what you need, and we'll buy you whatever you want. This is your pot. You're allowed to cook in this pot and no other pot. And put cameras in also. I think to have cameras is a good idea. It was one of the big innovations we did in the restaurants in the Five Towns a couple of years ago. Huge fight. A lot of the store owners were not happy about it. But it saved them a lot of money because some of them would have had to kasher their whole place again because of the issues that we found, and we were able to check the cameras and see that it wasn't as bad as we thought it was. Like, we were able to see, that's all that happened. Okay, so you just need to kasher this or whatever. So what was I saying? Non-Jewish help at the home. So this is not to discuss kasher issues in general. This is like just about bishalakum when a non-Jew is working in the house. Like, for example, I remember my first year that I was teaching, that I had my own shir in DRS. I was Rabbi Kamenetsky's assistant for 2 years before I had my own shir. So my first year that I had my own shir, the guys came over for Shabbos, and so there was a lot of food to make because there's 25 guys were all coming for Shabbos, and so we had my wife had someone helping in the kitchen to fry the chicken cutlets at the time. So my wife turned on the fire. She was doing all the breading, and the woman was doing all the frying of the chicken cutlets. And then we realized, as we look around the table on Shabbos day, and I see that there is a Zanjirian and a Sharbat, and they're like six Sephardim in the shir. two Solomon Zadas. They couldn't eat that, right? Because their dinim of Bishlakim are a little bit different than our dinim of Bishlakim, as we'll see. But a lot of issues come up when it comes to non-Jewish help and help. So that's just the basics. The tour in the beginning of Kuf Yud Gimel quotes from Rabbeinu Avram, also known as Ravid, who says that V'arav Rabbeinu Avram haya matiram im Bishlam Hagoy bebeiso shel Yisrael. That the Ravid Shita is based on Shal Yisrael, you could be Mekel. That it's not an issue of Chasnos, you don't have to worry about Dvarim Tmeim, you don't keep any Dvarim Tmeim in your house, and there's not going to be a concern of Chasnos when they're in your house for whatever reason, but Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. So the Yisra Bishlakim, according to the Ravid, doesn't apply to non-Jewish help in the home. In your home, there's no chashash that they would feed you non-kosher food, no chashash of chasnos, because they're not cooking out of the goodness of their heart, they're cooking because you're paying them to do that. So it's not a relationship creating kind of cooking. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. The Gezerah applies low plug to Jewish home as well. Says Shulchan Aruch that afilu bebeis Yisrael, right? That's Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph, he writes. Afilu b'klei Yisrael u'b'beis Yisrael asur mishum b'shulei Yaakov, right? Like the Rabbeinu Tam, that it's still going to be asur mishum b'shulei Nachrim. So the Beis Yosef quotes another machlokas about Jewish-owned slaves. So that's one machlokas. Is there a heter called Beis Shal Yisrael? So machlokas number one, right, Rabbeinu Tam, Shulchan Aruch passing like Rabbeinu Tam, that there's no heter Beis Shal Yisrael. Says the Beis Yosef, Kosev ba'orchus chayim, Kosev haramban b'tshuva, Da'ati she'ein iser b'shvachos halalu haknuyos lanu. That there's no iser when you own a shivcha. The malacha da'avad aril di Yisrael hi, the kanilo lemaisi yadav, umuzra lov b'shabbos min ha'torah, v'leisei b'chal goyim. He is yours, his malacha is yours, whatever he's doing is your doing. And therefore, it's not a problem with Bishalakum. That's what he says. Ad kal lashonim. That's the Ramban. The Hara'ah Kasav, Afal Pishadas Nota. I have a typo over here. Even though Das is Nota Kain, but Bal Nefesh Roy Lahachmir al Atzmo, Vachain Kasav Rashba, Vonanogin Isra Bibishulayan, Vafil Bidiyavid. So what do you have? You have a double machlokas. One machlokas is there a heter called Beis Shal Yisrael. The second machlokas, you have a heter of shvacha shalanu, of a shivcha that you own. That the Ramban holds that slaves were not included in the gzeru bishalakim because fully owned slaves are not considered full-fledged goyim because they're not allowed to do malacha, they can't do malacha on Shabbos, even for themselves, because they're yours. However, the Ra'ah says that a bal nefesh should be machmir. You know, that's Rav Moshe's famous truth about a woman doing malacha for her husband after she lived Shabbos candles. He says, Lo gara from your own Eved or Shivcha, that they're not allowed to do malacha after you know, they're not allowed to do malacha for you when it's Shabbos. So that's a question the poskim say. What does one have to do with the other? Right? Rosh Hashta pointed out an Eved or Shivcha. The chiddush over there is that they're not chayiv and Shabbos in their own right. So they're, how we define Shabbos is mitzad you. But a woman is chayiv and Shabbos in her own right, so we don't define her Shabbos by you. She could do whatever malacha she wants. But that's a different conversation for a different time. So again, Ramban says that they don't have a din of a shvacha shalanu is not a din of bishalakim. However, the Ra'ah says that a bal nefesh should be machmir even with Jewish owned slaves, and the Rashba says to be machmir even b'dievet, not just bal nefesh should be machmir, that it would even aser b'dievet. So a three way machlokas, how serious we are about shvacha shalanu. Yeah.
By the shifa, he's a Ramban, right? The shifa can still eat treifa.
Right.
So why do we have no fashash when she's in the kitchen? She's yours, and everything she does is your doing. So when she eats treifa, you just ate treif.
No. He's saying that as far as the gzeira of Bishalakum is concerned, it's not going to be considered that an Akum was mivashal because her identity is not that of an Akum. It's fused with your identity in some way. It's still tough. I hear what you're saying. But I wouldn't, you know, something that's a din in the gavra, clearly you wouldn't say, like, it's, you know, they murder someone, you haven't murdered somebody. Yeah. So this is the question. This is the million-dollar question. So it comes along the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalet, and he tells us, Sif Dalet, yesh misha matir b'shvacho shalanu, v'yesh misha oser v'afilu b'di'avet. So he says, some say mutter, some say asar vil b'diavad. He left out the shita that Mikra din mutter barbal nefesh b'machmir, right? He goes with the two extreme shitas. Chuvz rashba, ago, b'diavad yesh lismo chadivri amatirim. Vavil chadchila nogin lakal b'beis Yisrael, vavil chadchila nogin lakal b'beis Yisrael, shashvach zavadim mevashlim b'beis Yisrael, ki e'ef shashlo yichat echim b'beis ma'at. See what he's doing? What did the Rambam do? How many sniffim lakel do you have? Three. What are the sniffim lakel? Number one, it's Beis Yisrael. And Beis Yisrael, we said that after we showed him, say that that's, the Rambam says that's mutter. Number two, you have Shvach Shalon. So if it's a Shivcha that works for you, then you have, who has the Ramban that says that's mutter. And then number three, the Rambam adds in on his own, E'ef Shashal Yachat Echim B'Beis Ma'at. There's no way that a Jew didn't do something in the cooking. So since a Jew probably did something in the cooking anyway, so you put all those three together and you have a heter. So says the Rama. Now, what kind of assumption is that? I mean, I've been in and out of my kitchen many, many times on a Thursday night when my wife is cooking, and I did nothing. I was not mechata b'chlal. Normally, if she says, you know, adjust the oven to whatever, I sit there trying to like figure out how to do it, which one to bake and start and the, and she says, okay, just let me do it. You know, so I do very, very little. You have such a chazaka that efshar. So you have to realize this is talking about a very different metzius. It's a very different reality. In those times, they had one big stove, and that was for heating, and that was for cooking everything, and it was constantly on because it was constantly cold. And therefore, you're always throwing in a few extra twigs into the fire. Because it's the same fire that's doing everything in your house. So yeah, then you have such a din of Yevshad. Taz in Sivkan Dal points out that even if you had no kavana, it would be okay, because it's you likely threw something in when you wanted to warm the house. One of the three tzerufim is Yevshad Shlo Yechata, so that one doesn't seem to help. The two others do seem to help, at least to be Mekel B'diyeved. At least to be Mekel B'diyeved, you have the other two tzerufim. Right, because Rama wrote b'diavad yesh lismach d'vrei matirim, v'afilu l'chalchila noagin when you have all three, but b'diavad you could just be somech l'divrei matirim over here in the sif. Rav Shechter once came to visit DRS when I was teaching there, and there used to be a branch of the Katz Kollel in DRS in the afternoons. There were like six guys that learned Kollel Seder in DRS, just learned Kollel Seder with each other, smicha guys. And they had like a satellite Rosh Kollel. First it was Rav Shmuel Marcus, who's now Rebbe in Landers, and then it was Rav Andi Yudin. So it was like the satellite Rosh Kollel there. I guess similar to what they have in Frisch, except that Frisch is not the Katz Kollel. So they thought it would be nice if Rav Shechter would give chaburas every month. Like he'd go to the satellite locations and give chaburas every month. So he came once in the 4 years that they had. So one time he came, he was saying chabura, and in the middle of the chabura, someone came running in from the office and said that it was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They got a phone call from a very prominent family in Columbus, Ohio. There's only one prominent family in Columbus, Ohio. So the very prominent family in Columbus, Ohio, is making a Sheva Brachas that night, and they just realized that the guy cooked everything. Meaning they were doing it in their house. They thought, this one thought that one turned on the fire, that one thought that one turned on the fire. Turned out the guy turned on the fire. And the guy cooked everything. And the Sheva Bracha starts in 20 minutes. What do we do? So what do you have? At least you have Beis Hoshal Yisrael, right? At least you have Beis Hoshal Yisrael. Do you also have Shvach Hoshalanu? Because the Ramah says you could be Mekel on Shvach Hoshalanu. Beis Hoshal Yisrael, the Mechaber said, Beis Yisrael is Aser. Beis Hoshal Yisrael doesn't work. So do you at least have Beis Hoshal Yisrael, but you don't have, do you necessarily have Shvach Hoshalanu? So that's what we have to get into a little bit. When he says Shvach Hoshalanu, was he referring to a maid, which is, Machlokes Rav Rabbeinu Tam, or a slave, which is Ramban Rashba? So the Shach in Sivkat and Zayin explains that the Shulchan Aruch Ramah in one of four ways, four possibilities. Either the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rashba, that food preparation by a non-Jewish slave is asur, even b'diavad. And the Ramah says, no, you can be make like the Ramban, that Jewish-owned slaves who cook food, b'diavad is mutter. That's one possibility. or Shulchan Aruch is machmir like the Rashba, and the Rama agrees. The Rama is talking about a different case. He's being makil like the Ravid, like Rabbeinu Avram, that even temporary non-Jewish help, like what we have today, that's going to be mutter. So, yeah, you're going to pass on like the Rashba, Yesh B'Yushamati B'Shvach Shalom, Yesh Ha'osar Afil B'Di'eved. So the Yesh Ha'osar Afil B'Di'eved is talking about a Jewish-owned slave. But then when the Rama says that B'Di'eved Yesh Nismoch Adivri HaMatirim Afil L'Chachil V'Nogin L'Hakel B'Beis Yisrael Shashvachos, when he's talking about Nogin L'Hakel B'Beis Yisrael Shashvachos, that's talking about our Shavchot. It's talking about like having someone who works for you. Or Shulchan Aruch is machmir like the Rashba, and the Ramah is makel by both by a slave and by live and help, and even lechachila, because the main reason to ask is because most likely someone stoked the coals, and that's the ikr svara lahakel. At the end of Sivkat and Zayin, the Shach suggests a fourth explanation to the machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, namely that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a maid, not a slave, and he's machmir even b'diavad, like in Sif Aleph. However, the Ramah is makel b'diavad, like the sheet according to the Marshal, that by a maid, there's no kiruv hadas, because they're subordinate to you. So, because they have to follow whatever you ask them to do. They work for you. And the Shach says, that's not brought in either the Beis Yosef or the Dark Emosha, so that's a weakness in that particular mahalich. So, again, what do we have? We have, you have to look at the topic as, you know, whenever you look at any of the Rishonim, figure out, are they talking about non-Jewish slaves, or are they talking about non-Jewish help in the house, or they're talking about Jewish-owned slaves, right? So the Ravid would hold, they're both mutter, right? That even right, the case of the Ravid was basal, as long as basal shal yisrael, it doesn't matter. It's all going to be mutter. Rabbeinu Tam would say that certainly non-Jewish help is going to be aser. What about a Jewish-owned slave? Basal shal yisrael, not sure, right? We have room to argue that. The Ramban would say that non-Jewish help is usher, because the Ramban is only makel by a slave, but a slave is going to be mutter, because they're not allowed to violate Shabbos, right? That was Ramban's whole svara. Ramban's whole svara only worked for someone from a Hilchah Shabbos perspective, has a fused identity with you. The Ra'ah, when it came to the slave, said Tov Lahachmir, and when it came to the non-Jewish help, also was machmir, either tov la'achmir or maybe even aser mikir adin. And the Rashba, by non-Jewish help, would say aser, and by a slave, it's aser afilu b'diavad. So, what do the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah hold? So again, four different possibilities of what they hold. So how do we pass it? What happens if your non-Jewish help accidentally cooked food for your children? Can you hire or let's say you have a grandma is living alone and she needs an aide, and you need to hire a non-Jew to help cook all the food for her. So the Aruch HaShulchan in Siv Dalet says, "V'nir lehedya she'ekel mepnei kol hataimim biyachad," that the Ramah is mekel only when you have all three. V'hainu b'beis Yisrael. Even though the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the Ravid, the Gamal had to deknuyus lanu in lismo ki in deknuyus lanu el schuros, and we have a hard time being somech on the idea that they're avadim, because we no longer have avadim, we no longer have slaves. Abe Lincoln came and freed the slaves. We only have employees that could leave anytime they want, that could quit anytime they want. Mikom lakom b'shneim b'yachad u b'tziru v'etar ashlishi yeshat el chalchila. But an employee is close enough to a shivcha. Plus, you have the ravid. Plus, you have the fact that he efshash that no one played with the fire, and that's enough to be makel lechalchila, with all three opinions. But only when all three variables are present are you makel lechalchila. Comes along Rav Noach Isaac Albaum in Queens, Tshuvas Minchas Chaim. He has two volumes of Tshuvas. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. Chassidish Yid, and you guys know Rabbi Albaum? Oh, he's spoken here a few times, right? Yeah. A real go. So he explains that in Chelek Aleph of the Tshuvas, I wrote here Simin Daldid. V'nimtza lefizeh, teheicha diyesh tarti litivusa. Kolomar shein shvachos schuros. Va'od shabishlu bebeis Yisrael yesh lahakel b'diavad. Da'ayin d'mutu lech latavshu v'gamein tzorech lachshir kil. That if you have two of the three, even if you don't have that third one that they helped out, you could be makel b'diavad. Not lechachil, you could be makel b'diavad. So, no, because it's unclear from the Ramah whether our shvachos are the shvachos that he's referring to, right? He said, "B'diavad Yeshus Machadibra Matirin." Maybe that's only by an eved that you own, or maybe an eved that you own is worse because right? No, maybe it's only by an eved that you own because Ramban said an eved that you own that's like a Jew, but maybe someone who works for you that's worse. So we're being makel when you have tartil tivusa. So today, where we use gas stoves, and the Jew is definitely not stoking the coals because there's no coals that need to be stoked, and you only have two out of the three variables, so you can be makel only b'diavad not lechachila. And then he says that the Taz in the end of Sivkat and Gimel seems to be makel like that Shita, that b'diavad were makel even if the Jew didn't stoke the coals. So in the case where the prominent family from Columbus called, Rav Shachter was makel. He said it's Beis Hashal Yisrael, it's a Shivcha, wouldn't do it lechachila. But he saved the Sheva Brachos, Bishas Avchak, right? That they could have the Sheva Brachos. I still don't know to this day how they found him in DRS and found the number to DRS. He doesn't have a cell phone, but okay, they figured it out. They probably called the Rebbe and she told them where they are. So the question becomes, what's B'diavad? How B'diavad does B'diavad have to be? So Rav Asher Weiss has a piece in Minchas Asher Ala Torah in Sefer Devarim on page Chav Tes in the first printing. And he writes, "Mikom lakom l'sfaras harash v'vatash sheminig zel ha'akel mishum shesamcha l'arayvid ha'mekel b'chol bishul b'beis Yisrael." There's something on the rayvid that beis Yisrael is good enough. Or mishum t'lo chashin l'kir v'chasnas kashar malacha nasas pal karcho. Or the svara that when they work for you, it's not going to be kir v'chasnas. Yesh makom lakom gamenin don acharak im schuros af l'vashel. Avol im vashel sein b'snadvus vada yesh v'zeh chash kiru v'zeh pashul. Whoa, so he says, wait a second. This whole idea that we can be makel b'diavad is only using the svara that the bishul is not going to bring about kiruv hadas because they work for you. That's only if they work for you to cook. If they're hired as part of their job is to cook. But if part of their job is not to cook and they just like to cook and they say, oh, miss, whatever, let me cook something nice for you. So then that's something that they're just they're choosing to do. So that's going to be a problem. So you can rely on the Ramah, hire a non-Jew to take care of an elderly grandmother. Why? Because the cooking is done in Beis Hashal Yisrael, and there's no kirva when that's part of their job. So when hiring the help, you have to really say part of the job is to do the cooking, because it's just to take care of the elderly, and she's doing cooking out of the goodness of her heart. Then you only have one tzad lahakel and not two tzad lahakel. Some poskim say the best thing to do is keep a shiva candle, you know, like a yahrzeit candle lit there, and tell her whenever she ignites the stove to use the yahrzeit candle. Yeah, that's never going to happen.
Does it make a difference if, like, the grandmother is living in the same home as the parents, let's say, and then it's paid to cook for the grandmother, but can the parents eat them also if she's only been paid to take care of
the grandmother? The reason that might make a difference is because it's much less of a shasar chak, probably. Right? Meaning, to take care of a woman living alone, you really need to hire someone to cook for her, because what else is she going to eat? But when she's living in the house with everybody else, why do you need this woman cooking? It takes away the shasad chak. So there's probably still room to be makel, but it's, you know, less ideal, I would think. Now, by factories, it's a different story. By factories, you know, we've already discussed, Marid is makel because there's no kirav hadas. We don't say lo plug by dinim d'rabbanan when the rabbanan themselves made exceptions to that rule. Meaning there is such a notion, obviously, that lo plug in the takanas and the gzeros, but if the rabbanan themselves made exceptions to the rule, then you don't just indiscriminately apply lo plugs. However, the Rivos Ephraim, I think we did this when we did pass, quotes in the name of Moshe. I can read the old tshuva again. Remember that they asked Rav Moshe, they asked Rav Reuven, can we say this tshuva this way? And he said, yeah, it's Emes. He quoted Rav Nata Greenblatt. That Rav Nata Greenblatt said this way. Rav Nata was a very trustworthy Talmud of Moshe. That there's no chashash of bishulakim in a factory because the consumer never comes in contact with the workers in the factory. And the way that they cook in factories isn't even shayuch in your home. They don't even have that method of cooking, whatever they're doing. They don't have such industrialized equipment. So any industrialized equipment that's used in food production is automatically going to be mutter. And the OU relies on that Ramesha, but only with another tziruf. Shevet HaLevi quotes the Chazon Ish to be machmir. Says, no, lo plug. Chazal asked food cooked by non-Jews, so I don't care if it happens to be a factory. You're right, it's not going to be a chashash chassos, but we don't micromanage the issues. What about a hotel or a restaurant? So is that the din of a factory? Is that a din of Beis Hashem Yisrael? So in most restaurants, you don't really meet the chef. So maybe there's room to be mekel. Is that true? It depends what kind of restaurant, right? Someone told me that in Mike's Bistro, is that still open? I think it was like a very high-end restaurant in Manhattan. I heard that with Corona, it was having obviously a lot of trouble. Someone told me that if you order a steak well done in Mike's Bistro, the chef comes out to yell at you that you don't know how to eat steak. She's like, you know, it's a Milo. Sometimes you do meet the chef. The chef is the owner of the restaurant in a lot of the fancy places. That he's a high caliber chef and he starts a restaurant. But you know, maybe there's room to be making like a factory if you never meet the chef. So it's a very relevant question because many businessmen who travel would like to buy kosher fish from the market, double wrap it in aluminum foil, give it to the chef in the hotel to put it in the fire and be able to have fish for dinner. Right? Let him buy a kosher fish or let him buy salmon, assuming salmon is a problem with bishalakum. Right? He'd like to be able to have it for dinner. So if Sturmbach in Chuvus van Hagos, Chelik Gimelson, Reshvim Tess, quotes Rav Moshe Skul about factories and he disagrees. He doesn't think there's any room to be made. This is Koshke, Masha, Mekel, Bishas, and Chak. Besvara chadita, a new svara, she base malon hayos vein lemavashim kesher ma'orchem ma'ochlim dino kebeis charoshes sheyesh ha'misadim lahakel, that a hotel is like a factory because you have no relationship to the owner and by a factory you could be makel. He named that madikai malon beis charoshes lesser. He says aside from the fact that our mission is wrong anyway and that we ask it by factories nirish ha'svara lahatir af beis malon ainu matima elu the reformer yomachayotzevam. You know, in Israel they talk a certain way. I know who would be makel in such a case. Reform Jews would be makel in such a case. Okay. The distinction between factory and restaurant is obvious, is that there's no way you can cook in the way that they do in a factory. In a restaurant, they cook using bigger stoves, but not totally. It's not machinery. It's regular kitchen equipment. And also, the restaurant, the chef is in the next room, and you can meet the chef. You know, if you say, "I'd like to compliment the chef on a delicious meal," no problem. If it's not too busy, you can meet the chef. Whereas in a factory, you don't have that option. I didn't have that before. Someone wanted to ask something. So it's tough to know because it's not a tshuva, meaning he didn't write a tshuva. What does he say over here? Basically, it's a adiflin in zeh. Shebepaltra Yisrael v'anachri nifkashim u'mukarim zeh. Zeh ma she'in kein v'eschosh shen Yisrael nifkash klal im apoalim anachrim. Lo shayich klal ikruve daita. Sounds like he's only taking the fact that you'll never meet him. But the Rav Ephraim, I think himself says that they're using kelim yuchadim that you would never be able to use anyway, that you would never have any shaykhus to. Anyway, so it's good to know these kulas, even though we don't rely on that, meaning we don't do lechadchila, but it's good to know, certainly as far as what we're going to get to in the end of the simon, as far as kasher and kelim, because bishalakum is 2 days whether it trapes up kelim, so at the very least, once you have any of these, any tzad lekula, from this perspective, that it's not bishalakum, you could then be mitzdarifit with the tzad that bishalakum doesn't trape up kelim. right, and not have to kasher your kelim. That's why you very rarely have to actually kasher, meaning according to many, many poskim, you very rarely have to actually kasher kelim on account of bishul akum. Because wherever it's going to happen, it's going to be bebeisul shel yisrael, plus you have a sheet in rishonim that you don't need to kasher kelim for bishul akum anyhow. Okay, let's stop there, and tomorrow we'll get into unintentional cooking and Jewish involvement to the cooking and the difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim and all that stuff. I hope the plan is still tomorrow to finish the siman, and then Sunday I probably will not be able to kasher. I was looking at the timing of the event, I probably will not be able to kasher Sunday, so then Monday we'll move on. I guess what will we do next? Tefillas Kalim. Yeah. What? Oh, Shulchalav. Yeah, Shulchalav. We'll do Chalav. Okay, Blined. We'll move on to Chalav Akum. We can come back to Yayin and other stuff after, but I just want to make sure we get Tefillas Kalim, Magalas Kalim also. Okay. Great day.